Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Amos. Book of Amos may take you a moment to find it. Would you get there as quickly as you can? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. One nation under God. Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I am a flag waving, stand for the national anthem, kneel for God, patriot. I love America. You're in a church this morning that loves America. Our ball teams, our little Christian academy here, Maplewood Baptist Academy, our young men and our young ladies stand for the national anthem and put their hands on their hearts. We try to instill patriotism in our young people. As a matter of fact, it's just kind of apropos that our brother Ben is here this morning. I think it's probably his first Sunday off since he's moved up here. We've got multiple graduates of Maplewood Baptist Academy that are state police troopers. And we're proud of that. We're a law and order kind of people. I just want you to know, I want to preach out of the book of Amos. Now let me give you a little bit of background for Amos. Amos is a farmer. He's a herdsman. He farms crops. We read that later on in these nine chapters of the book of Amos. He is called of God as a farmer to be an old-fashioned biblical prophet of judgment. He prophesies basically almost entirely, not completely. He prophesies to the Gentile nations around him, and he prophesies to Judah, but he's prophesying to the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom, during this prophesying, is at its zenith as far as military power and might. It's right at the top. He prophesies that God is going to judge unless they get right with God. And in less than 50 years' time, they're gone. They're gone. And it's very apropos, very appropriate, that I preach a message. Now, I'm not going to take anything out of context. This is the prophet Amos's prophecy concerning the northern kingdom. But it applies to America. As a matter of fact, it applies to the New Testament church. It applies to the land in which we are living. And I trust and I pray that God will get... This was 787 BC. But it is so appropriate to where we are living here today. And I got to tell you, judgment is coming. I'm not a prophet of doom. As a matter of fact, the ninth chapter is a chapter of great hope, even for the northern kingdom. We worship a merciful God. We worship a God that if we will seek him, words out of the book of Amos, if we'll seek him, we'll find him. He'll reveal himself to us. If there's any group of people, any individual, any church, any nation that is willing to call out to God, our great, long-suffering, merciful God will forgive as they repent of their sin, and he'll bless them, and he'll make them a place of blessing. So that truism is for the church today. But understand, if we continue as a nation to turn our back on God, judgment is coming. I'm not a dark personality. I'm not someone that just wanting to jump on and kick people. In fact, that goes against the grain completely. With even just the way I'm wired, the way I'm a very positive, I'm a half glass full kind of guy. In fact, even if it's less than half, we still got some. We still got some. That's the way I would look at it. And I understand that today the world is overwhelming. And I'm 63. America's gone crazy. And I understand a lot of it is just the wrong people in positions of authority. And they got a microphone. They got a voice. America, for the sake of... Oh, let me back up and say this. I did get one nasty phone call. Actually, it was a good phone call rehearsing the nastiness of another person saying that Pastor Rader is getting too political in his messages. And I'm thinking... Number one, I got to tell you this. Where in the Bible are God's men and God's people told not to be political? I'm not going to tell you how to, you know, who to vote for. I'm not doing that. But you read the Old Testament prophets, they were all over Israel. Man, they were all over Judah. You read what Jesus preached. If being anti-abortion is being political, well, the Bible's anti-abortion. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this before I get into the text this morning. I'm telling you, and we got a presidential election coming up, and you've got to vote Bible. Amen. Here's three things. Actually, Jimmy DeYoung actually referred to these in another way, and it's what I've always believed. I am pro-life because God is pro-life. Verbiage doesn't matter. What people say as far as their pet phrases, that don't matter. I'm not going to vote for a man or a woman that is not pro-life. That's the way it is. I am with God. God is pro-life. So I'm against abortion. I am pro-family. That means I'm anti-perversion. I'm anti-LGBTQ, RZ, whatever letters you want to put on it. And the reason is God is pro-life and anti-perversion. Let me show you the Bible verses. If that was my sermon tomorrow, that's what I would preach. So I am pro-life, I am pro-family, and I'm pro-Israel because we're commanded to be pro-Israel because God is pro-Israel. Those are the three things I vote about. That's it. Everything else is just kind of peripheral. And I'm not going to, and like I said, language is language. So it doesn't matter what party it is. I'm not a capital R Republican. I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm going to vote Bible. That's all it is. And I'm not going to vote for somebody that stands for something other than those three points. That's not being political. That's Bible. Amen. That's all that is. That's Bible. All right. Amos is preaching to the Northern Kingdom. He gets right to it. And America is, we're in trouble. It's been 58 years since God was relegated from our public schools in prayer and Bible reading. And there were rebellious public schools in the beginning. I remember my teacher reading the Bible every morning. I remember that. And that was beyond 1962. So, you know, not everybody knuckled under right away, but it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I may not ever watch another NFL game. You know, I've had it up to here. He said, let me just get this off my chest too, since I've been guilty of being political, all right? A black national anthem at the beginning of the games? And we're Americans. Where's that Jewish national anthem that I'd like? Where's that at? We're Americans. That's where we're at. And I'm just telling you, I think in a lot of ways, last days, man, America's kind of losing its mind. Not everybody. The church is still the church. The Bible is still the Bible. Man, you know, 58 years of America shaking its fist at God, and we're reaping the second and third generation of that. It's an amazing thing to see how quickly we have gone. Yet our Savior lives, and he saves, and he keeps, and he satisfies. We worship a great God. Amos in chapter 1 says, and the words of Amos, verse 1, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Judgment is coming. What Amos says here, and I can't read all of Amos, there's 9 chapters. He said, you have made the ephod small and the shekel great. Man, that's some terminology. You have minimized God in your culture, and you've made money all important. You've made the ephod small and the shekel great. America's guilty of that. We are suppressing the work of God. We are minimizing God. We're afraid to speak about God in the public arena, and we're making the almighty dollar what drives everything. And that is wrong. And I'll say this, America is in desperate need of revival. It's come to this, revival or ruin. It's that simple. And I love I learned a lot from Jimmy DeYoung. I know he's a grumpy old man, a little bit crusty. When you're 80 years old, you probably get that way as well. But he was full of the Holy Spirit. And man, I got to fellowship with him. And I did learn a lot. And I love the wording he uses about America being in prophecy. I've always preached that. I don't see America in prophecy, but America is a facilitator. The gospel of Jesus Christ has sounded forth from these shores. America has always been a friend to Israel. In the last days, after the rapture of the church, America's done. America will be done as we know it. And we're in this big drift right now away from God. Boy, I wish you'd have been in Sunday school. We kind of got into that a little bit in detail. But America losing its way in these last days, God has always had a people. Take your Bibles, turn to Amos in chapter 4. Amos in chapter 4. Verse 6, I'd like to read just a few verses here in a quick way. The northern kingdom had become a calloused nation towards God. They had kicked their God, the Lord God Jehovah, to the curb and made money their God, and the gods of the world their God. And in that process, over a period of time, incrementally, they had become more and more calloused to God. God keep Fundamental Baptist Church from becoming calloused to the will of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God deliver us. I'm talking about us, we individuals, our heart from getting to the place where we sit and listen to preaching and we say, oh, I heard that before. May God, the Holy Spirit, grip us. We've got to get desperate for this thing called revival. Being a New Testament Christian does not divert judgment for reckless living. Being born again doesn't mean that God will not judge us for reckless living. Saved by grace, but choose the world, the chastisement of God is upon us. Look at chapter 4, verse 6 says, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. Understand this. The Amos is saying, man, God has met with us again and again. He has brought rain when we didn't need it, war, pestilence, good times and bad times. God has given us many a warning, plenty of workings in our midst to keep us close to him. I think sometimes we are overblessed in America. I'll come to that in a moment. Let me read a little bit more here. I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in your palaces, yet in your places, and ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Also I have withholden the rain from you, and there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city, and one piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, and the palm worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword. I have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Being born again does not divert reckless judgment from reckless living. We got to know that. And it might be, let me just kind of get down to where we're living, that you become accustomed unto sin. You've grown in a way where you're comfortable in doing wrong. You're convicted about it this morning because the preacher's preaching. And the Holy Spirit is speaking if you're listening. And it's dangerous ground to be on when you get used to sinning and loving. Now, we all sin. I understand. You know, in case there's somebody listening saying, what are you saying? We reach sinless perfection? No. But as a child of God, we need to be more and more like Jesus all the time. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. Hold your hand here in Amos so you can get back to it quick. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. I alluded to it this morning in Sunday school. Verse chapter 2 and verse 25 of 2 Timothy, it reads as follows, in meekness, instructing those, he's telling Pastor Timothy, pastor at Ephesus, you got to do this, Timothy, because in a great house are vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's strange language. That's folly. What does he mean, those that oppose themselves? In other words, I'm fighting myself. He said, you've got to be long-suffering in ministry and instruct those in meekness that oppose themselves if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Because they might repent. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So he's speaking about, Paul is telling Timothy, Pastor Timothy, about brethren, brothers and sisters, who get caught up in the world's thinking and the world philosophy, and they start to think that evil is good and good is evil, and they oppose themselves. They're conflicted. Like Peter described Lot, who vexed his righteous soul. Lot knew right and wrong, but he still went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And every day it bothered him. You know it really bothered him when he saw his daughters go to the world, go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it vexed his righteous soul. As children of God, there are people in the family of God, and I'm just like everybody else, there are people right now that are opposing themselves. In other words, you're born again, you've received Jesus as your Savior, but you're not living for God, you're living for self. You're not living to bring glory to God, you're living to consume, you're living for pleasure here in this world. And you just do things because it feels good, and you do things because it feels right, and you know right. You know what the Word of God says, but you just kind of excuse it because everybody else is doing it. I want to tell you something. On this planet, if 7 billion people say evil is good, with God, evil is still evil. You don't do it because the world's doing it. Don't do it because the crowd's doing it. Don't do it because you see a brother over here that's doing it. Man, you know what? We're opposing ourselves in that. 7 billion people wrong, God right. Does that make sense? So he says, you minister. And Israel had gotten this way, the northern kingdom. And this is why God is going to judge them. And they're going to be judged. And they're going to be taken into captivity because they're not obeying God. Pure and simple. I'm going to skip ahead. Because I only have so much time. Go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, these were an affluent people in the northern kingdom by their standards. We read in chapter 3 that they had a second house. They'd have a winter house, they'd have a summer house. They knew what fat was. Chapter 6 kind of basically describes couch potatoes. So they got multiple homes, beautiful homes. They have some wherewithal, but they've left God. They've left God. Look what it says here, chapter 6 and verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Israel's false security. I alluded to this in a phrase. Let me say it. I'm just talking to, preaching to the people that are here. I'm trying to be real and connect, and I could come right down. I'm just like you, okay? So I'm not on the platform. I'm down here. We're all at the same level. I'm called of God to preach the book of Amos this morning. You got to know this. We are overblessed. Amen. This generation, this American generation right now, we are overblessed. And because of those blessings, we have forgotten God. We're just like the Northern Kingdom. That's where we are in America. Some of us are audacious enough to think that what we have, we got ourselves. Yeah, we wouldn't word it like that, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar did. We wouldn't word it like that, but that's the way we're living. We leave God out of our lives. You know, we're just a pleasure-seeking generation that does not consult the Word of God in decisions that we make. We don't honor God. There's just not a lot of faithfulness. For some of us, we're not anti-God, but we're at ease in Zion. We're that spiritual couch potato. Give me another pop. Make me a sandwich. You know, it's a lazy man that can't find his wife a second job. You know that, don't you? We're that couch potato kind of, we're that couch potato kind of generation as a people of God. Spiritually, more so, here we are blessed. We are blessed in the family of God. God has just filled our cup to overflowing. If you're attempting to follow him at all, you know you've been blessed. You've got more than you ever thought you would ever have. If you're an old man right now and you're honoring God, you would amen this in your heart. In fact, you ought to say it out loud. I have more than I ever thought I would ever have. And I'm trying to serve God, but I have more. God has just blessed me. I have luxuries that I never thought I'd have. Man, I got an air-conditioned bedroom, man. I got an air-conditioned window unit that sits every summer. I set it up in our bedroom window, and I live in a walk-in cooler all summer long. It gets hot in the other part of the house. We got a plan. We do. You know, we open the windows in the morning, then we close the windows. It starts to heat up. All the shades are drawn, and we open the window from my bedroom because it's about 60 degrees in there. No lie. I mean, that's where it is. And a fan blowing besides. And then we have a little fan and kind of chucks some of the cool air out into the living room. And it's made it bearable the last couple of days. But other than that, and I close all the other doors just to kind of keep the house cool. And what do we do before air conditioning? Spiritually, just think of what God has done in your life, how you have been blessed. Think of your family. And think of what God has done in your household. Think of the church that you go to and you get to hear the word of God and people are going to hell all around us. I think, and it's my terminology, you won't find this term in the Bible, but you'll find this principle. I believe we're overblessed. That's why when tough times come, that's usually when revival breaks out. When persecution falls and starts, that's usually when real revival breaks out. And then those that are just along for the good times, they kind of fall by the wayside. And those that are serious, they get even more serious. And the power of God falls. Amos chapter 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Let's not be trusting ourselves. There's an illustration he uses. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. God has a holy standard. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line. You know what that is? That's kind of a modern, old version, and people still use them today, of a square. It's a weighted string. And you, if it was a masonry block wall, Art would know all about this. You use some form of plumb line. Sometimes in the old days, they'd have the plumb line up high. Now we use levels a lot of times, and they drop that string with that weighted string, and then they'd build the wall to the plumb line. I'll let you in on a little secret and some more of my great carpentry skills. If you bend the square to make it fit the wall, you aren't going to have a straight wall. God has a holy standard. You say, who in the world would do that? Marilyn, sometimes you speak out a little bit too much. My wife assists me in some of my projects. I say, get the square. There's no joke. No joke. Square? What's that? I said, that thing right there, go get it. Oh, you mean the L? Yeah, the L. Give me the L, all right? Anything less than, I mean, if it's not a square, God has a holy standard. It's the word of God. It is not the culture. I know this is kind of elementary this morning, but again, if 7 billion people are saying a lie is the truth, it's still a lie. God's standard is holy. It's the holy word of God. And he says, listen, Amos, you've got to understand this. You hold that plumb line up against the nation Israel, the northern kingdom. And that plumb line is true. My word is true. And the people are out of square. They're not following God. I'm not going to bless them. I'm just not going to bless. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The illustration of the plumb line. What was wrong 50 years ago is still wrong today. I hope I can illustrate this somehow, and it just kind of came out in Sunday school, and I think I want to share it right now. Ever since the garden, man has gotten progressively worse, ever since the fall. That's mankind. We are not evolving. We are devolving. And it's picking up at a rapid pace. And the only way this devolution has been interrupted is by way of revivals. That's it. Where God's people come back to God's book. That's happened for nations. It's happened for New Testament. It's happened for churches. It's happened for people throughout history. It happened with the Old Testament saints, with Old Testament Israel. Man without Christ just gets farther and farther and farther away from God. And that's where we're at. That's why in the last days perilous times shall come. getting farther and farther away from God. And the only way that's interrupted was when God the Holy Spirit visits his people. And there's an old-fashioned revival. That's the only thing that holds it back. That's why Fundamental Baptist Church is here. We're that city that is set on a hill. We're that lighthouse in a world of darkness. We've got to hold on to the ropes. We've got to hold on to our Bibles. We got to stand tall for the world of darkness, because there are people out there wanting to get saved. And they are getting born again. And God has strategically planted New Testament churches all over the world in these last days in which we live. What an honor. What a privilege it is to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. All of grace. All of mercy. All because of the blood of Christ. Is this church perfect? You've got to be kidding. You follow me around for an hour. I might be able to fool you for an hour. I don't know, though. You've got to be kidding. You see, it's a hard thing. It is a hard thing. We need to honor God. In America, I guess I'll close this message with by saying this. Look at chapter 8 and verse 11. Chapter 8 and verse 11. America's gone crazy. It has. And if you don't think it has, you're burying your head in the sand. I love America. I love what America stands for. I love the Word of God. I love the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. He sent his Son. His Son is named Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for my sins. I received him as my Savior. When I was in fifth grade, I asked Jesus in my heart. Margene Rowe led me to the Lord, and I got born again right in Sault Ste. Marie. And I'm a child of God because of the grace and the mercy of God, the finished work of the cross. I'm not going to heaven because of religion. I'm not going to heaven because I've done something or accomplished something. I'm going to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. And we got to sound forth that message in these last days in which we're living. Because it's too easy to be that other kind of people where you're part of the problem. Look at chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come. He's talking to the northern kingdom, but oh, is it America today? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Amen. Not a famine of the word of God. God's word never returns void. This book is powerful. It is a living book. That's what the word of God is. Verbally inspired of God, but a famine of hearing the word of God. Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, they'll heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. What is it you want preached? That's where I'll give it to you. You just put your money in the plate. What do you want preached? Teachers having itching ears. God bless America. And we can have revival in whatever time we have left. And I'm not a fatalist. We're going out in a blaze of glory via the rapture. And until that trumpet sounds, let me just try to wax eloquent with football terminology, because so many of you men are aware of it. The days are short. Perilous days shall come. These are wicked and dangerous days in which we live. And as the trumpet, just before the trumpet sounds, I want to be part of that church that's honoring God. Let me word it this way, and I'm going to pray. I want to be in the red zone. With seconds ticking off the clock, I want to score. With seconds ticking off the clock, man, I want the ball. I don't want to be in defense. I want the ball. I want to be leading people to Christ when the trumpet sounds. My desire is that this church would be on fire for God. And in the last days, and whatever days, whatever moments are left, when those final seconds of the clock are finally ticked away for the Church of Jesus Christ, we'll be found faithful. Man, we'll be in the saddle. We'll be honoring God, and souls will be continuing to be saved. And maybe we'll get to lead that last soul to Christ before God the Father says to God the Son, go get your church. Man, it's time. God bless America.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.